Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we will continue with our ongoing series of emerging markets conversations. With that, excited to welcome to the podcast today, Gabby Soni, Head of Investment Strategy for Mexico with the UBS Chief Investment Office. Gabby, first off, I do want to welcome you to the podcast. Thank you for dropping by and for spending some time today with our listeners and our clients.
Hi, Dan. Happy to be here.
So, Gabby, it's quite timely that you're joining us today. I know the results are in with respect to Mexico's highly anticipated elections. We'll spend some time today reviewing the results and implications. I think it's a relevant place to start by going over the main results from the election. So, Gabby, can you briefly mention the results and perhaps comment around the most important developments you've picked up on?
Yes, Dan. Well, on Sunday, Claudia Sheinbaum was elected Mexico's president with close to 60% of the votes, winning by more than 30 percentage points over her nearest contender, Xochitl Galvez. And this difference is very wide compared to previous elections. In fact, we haven't seen this since the 80s. The ruling party, Morena, also won 7 out of 9 governorships up for grabs. But what was most surprising then was that Morena's coalition secured a 2/3 majority in the lower house and came very close to one in the Senate. So this has raised concerns about potential changes to the country's legal framework, as a 66% majority in both chambers alongside a 51% majority in local congresses are the thresholds to be able to pass changes to the Constitution. And even if Morena fell a bit short of achieving the qualified majority in the Senate, opposition parties could easily swing and support Morena on reforms that could weaken checks and balances and entail fiscal costs. Remember then that Morena lost its qualified majority in the lower house in the 2021 midterm elections, which hindered the government from making significant changes to Mexico's legal framework. But now these potential changes can once again become a prominent issue.
Okay, so now that we have a better sense for the results and perhaps some of the implications, I do want to spend a moment discussing the market response to the election results. It was a bit severe. So, Gabby, what do you think is behind this market response we've been seeing?
Mexican elections were supposed to be uneventful then, but we thought that the U.S. election could pose a greater risk for Mexico. But this surprising turn of events led to worries of institutional erosion in the very near term. Monday was the worst day for Mexican stocks since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic in March 2020. The Mexican peso also experienced a significant decline. It dropped more than 4% against the U.S. dollar. So the overwhelming Morena victory was seen negatively by the market as it raised important questions around the system of checks and balances and indicated that Claudia Sheinbaum will have a huge power that we are yet to see how it develops. On her victory speech, she highlighted the importance of maintaining a strong relationship with the U.S., encouraging foreign direct investment, adhering to fiscal discipline, preserving Banxico's autonomy, and promoting renewable energy. However, investors will watch what she does and not only what she says. The uncertainty caused by the huge win reminded investors of President López Obrador's reform agenda, a series of controversial legislative proposals presented in February. The new Congress is set to take office in September, leading to a one-month period during which President López Obrador will share the administration with the newly elected Congress, which is why some analysts think he could try to implement these reforms in September. So this will be a relevant period to monitor. Then, as a reminder, many of the proposed reforms have notable fiscal costs, and this comes in the context of Mexico facing the highest deficit in over 30 years. Proposed reforms include the judicial reform, one of the more controversial in terms of checks and balances, where Supreme Court justices would be elected by popular vote rather than by a legislative process. the political reform would eliminate proportional representation in Congress. The methods used for allocating seats today are protective of minorities based on proportional representation. And there's also a plan to eliminate autonomous entities such as the Antitrust Commission and the National Electoral Council, for instance. So other reforms include the elevation of social programs to a constitutional level, as well as reforms to the pension system. And these are just some of them, Ben.
Okay, so there's a lot there with respect to reforms to be mindful of. I do want to pivot a bit, talk about currencies. You mentioned a significant sell-off of the Mexican peso after the election results came out. So can you take a few moments, Gabby, to share your expectations around this for us?
Well, as we mentioned, Morena's victory was surprisingly strong. The prospect of a constitutional majority for the ruling party spooked peso investors. The Mexican peso has been a curry darling, and its strong total return performance over the past quarters has led to large positions being built in the currency. So this likely exacerbated the initial sell-off as investors squared positions. In the near term, markets may remain jumpy and some risk premium in the peso will remain as markets look for indications of Sheinbaum and Lopez Obrador's regarding policy plans and other cabinet appointments. Markets will be particularly focused on the 2025 budget to be released in November to gauge the new administration's willingness to implement fiscal consolidation. But we expect several factors will provide support for the peso and limit further sharp sell-offs. These factors include Mexico's current resilient macroeconomic position, Banxico's hawkish posture, which means the peso's carry remains appealing, and Mexico's proximity to the U.S. and the nearshoring dynamics. So with this in mind, then, we advise investors not to overreact to politics and avoid selling the peso into weakness.
Well, thank you, Gabby, for that guidance. As we begin to close out, I do want to focus just on the new administration. What would you cite perhaps as being the major challenges that this new administration faces?
Mexico faces serious medium-term challenges that the next administration will need to address. Organized crime has deepened its penetration into the country, and public safety indicators are in bad shape and worsening. So these, together with a challenging fiscal situation, are some of the most relevant vulnerabilities the country faces. While Mexico demonstrated fiscal discipline in the early years of President López Obrador's administration, recent developments indicate a more troubling trend. The Ministry of Finance estimates that the broad deficit will reach almost 6% of GDP this year. This is the highest in over three decades. And Claudia Sheinbaum will have fewer degrees of freedom to spend given this fiscal deficit López Obrador is leaving her. So the way she deals with these fiscal constraints will be key. There are concerns that wider deficits could persist, particularly if efforts to increase tax revenue are postponed. The Ministry of Finance has proposed significant expenditure cuts for 2025, but the truth is that implementing them will be very difficult given the spending pressure on the incoming government. Recently, spending has been on the rise, with social programs expanding, and interest payments and pensions also prove difficult to reduce. So the uncertainty around Pemex can also pose a significant threat to Mexico's fiscal accounts. Since the start of the current administration, Pemex has received an average 1% of GDP in financial assistance per year, with an expected pickup in debt amortizations for 2026, higher investment needs, oil production at historical lows, and refining remaining a loss-making operation for Pemex, it is unlikely that the government can withdraw its support without introducing other structural changes. So in conclusion, then, the country's reputation for sound public finances will be tested. In the approach the next administration takes toward the fiscal path, energy policy, and Pemex support will largely determine the future of the country's investment-grade status.
Well, Gabby, thank you very much for dropping by Top of the Morning today for this timely update on Mexico's election, keeping our listeners informed, updated on the outcome as well as the investment implications. There's clearly a lot here that we'll continue to track and keep an eye on. So looking forward to follow-up conversations, though. Thank you again, Gabby, for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Dan.
Again, today we have been joined by Gabby Soni, Head of Investment Strategy for Mexico with the UBS Chief Investment Office. As a relevant publication to read further into this story, I will cite the Mexican Elections Policy Continuity Edition of the Weekly Regional View for Emerging Markets. That publication is now available for you up on ubs.com/CIO. Though for clients of UBS, simply reach out to your UBS financial advisor if you would like to receive a copy of the publication directly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.